Great job, Ross, with that song. Seems like that boy has some Espanol blood in him. Amen, amen. It's great to be here with all of you this morning. Cynthia and I are very encouraged to be here. It's been a while since we've had an opportunity to worship with the New Jersey Disciples. And we just want to thank you for all the great work you're doing here. You are our largest region of the church. And in many ways, you're setting the example for the other regions. Just with your sacrifice, with people becoming disciples, with your marriage and EDGE and campus and youth and family ministries, continuing to grow stronger and stronger. And so I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your sacrifice, your hard work. You may think that, hey, nobody notices, but trust me, the elders and I sit around and we talk about these things for quite a while. And we're very proud of what's going on here in New Jersey. I get to work closely with the Craigs and the Murdochs and the Novaks and the Lippincotts. And if you need any inside information on any of them, I am the guy to talk to. But that being said, I want to thank them for their work. Larry, thank you and Mary Lou so much for your hard work. It was Larry's vision to bring all of the New Jersey regions together, and I know with much endurance and hard work, it's all come together, and we're just praising God for all the good he's doing. I understand you've been talking about personal growth, so I'm going to take some time to spend a few minutes talking about personal growth, which really is one of my favorite subjects. And so what we're going to talk about today is overcoming obstacles to personal growth. Now, I want to know, are you ready to talk about this subject? This is a great topic, but it's a very challenging topic. So let's pray together, because I want your hearts to be ready. And then we're going to go to the Word of God. God and Father in heaven, thank you that Cynthia and I can be here with the New Jersey region. And thank you, God, for the way your Spirit is working in this region and throughout the church. And Father, we know we owe everything to you. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for having watched over us. Thank you for every good thing that's in our lives that is from you. Bless our time together today. Open wide our hearts to see ways that we can grow and be continually transformed into the image of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. So overcoming personal obstacles. So I want to take a few minutes just to talk about our personal growth focus. Because even though this is a large group of people, the best thing you can do to give glory to God is to grow personally, is to make progress in your personal spiritual life. You know, I really love the scripture that was read earlier. From 1 Peter or 2 Peter, when it was talking about add to your faith, and that if you do these things, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a great scripture. And if you can take all those things, add to your faith goodness and the goodness knowledge and the knowledge self-control and the self-control perseverance and the perseverance godliness and the godliness brotherly kindness, if you add all those things, it says that you will be effective. You will be productive for God. So the best thing you can do for this church is to make sure you're moving forward spiritually. The best thing you can do for your family is to grow spiritually. Even if you made more money, that's not going to fix it all. You need to grow spiritually. The best thing you can do for your marriage, husbands, is to become a godly, righteous, solid, strong man of God. Your wife will love you all the more if you grow spiritually. The best thing you can do for your marriage, wives, is to grow in the fruit of the Spirit and to develop that inner beauty which God praises. That's the best thing you can do. The best thing you can do for your family is to show your children the love of God in you, to set an example for them, to keep growing spiritually and making progress day by day. You know, even as college students, when you go back home this summer, or when you go back home from a break, your family needs to say, "What happened to you?" Because you've grown spiritually. Now you're washing the dishes and you're making up your bed and you're asking, "What can I do to help?" And your parents are standing there in shock. "What happened to my child?" And you tell them, "It's all because of the Lord. I'm trying to do what Jesus would do in our family." So we need to grow spiritually. And one of the reasons that God does not just take us straight up to heaven after we get baptized is so that we can continue to grow to give him glory and to help other people become Christians as well. Churches grow as individuals within the church grow. That's the key. So let's look at a scripture over in Ephesians chapter 4. I know you studied the book of Ephesians last year. I listened to a few of your messages, but you can always go back and look at it again. This is just for your remembrance. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, Paul is giving a vision of how the church is supposed to work. And he says it was Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. And help me out with the rest of it, church, as each part does its work. What a beautiful picture of the church of God. That Jesus, the Holy Spirit, has set apart leadership, and their job and their aim is to help every disciple to go on to maturity, to help every Christian use their abilities and their talents and their opportunities to give glory to God. And then as each of those individuals grow, you see a beautiful, powerful organism that is a light to the world. And that's what the church is all about. There are things that the church can be that individuals cannot be. There's an impact that the church can have that individuals do not have. But the key is for each one of us to do our part to make that church a great church. Look at this scripture here in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 16, where he says, From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. You may think, well, I don't really matter. I don't really count. You do matter. You are a supporting ligament. You are vitally important. Is there a part of your body that you, "Hey, I don't want this part of my body anymore"? You're significant. And if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. One part rejoices, every part rejoices with it. And so we're to come together. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You make a difference. One individual who decides, "I'm going to grow, I'm going to mature, I'm going to make every effort to be like Jesus," can make a difference in this church. You may think, "Well, no one even knows my name." If they don't even have to know your name, if you decide to grow spiritually, you will have an impact for God. And eventually we'll know your name as well. But you make a difference. And see, the challenge for us is that now we've got to deal with obstacles that get in our way of growing. And we can come up with a whole list of them. But I just ask you today, give me, and let's just name all the things that try to keep us from being like Jesus. The things that get in our way of maturing in Christ. We don't have time for that. But we know Satan is always opposed to us, right? The world is always trying to bring us back down and lower our standards. Some of us come from difficult backgrounds. Some of us are in challenging circumstances and predicaments. Some people even say, well, the church leadership is holding me back. I'm sure that's not the case here, but I have heard that. But what is the biggest obstacle? What is the one we need to talk about today? And here it is. It's self. It is you. You are your biggest obstacle. And if you could get you out of the way, you could go on and do greater things for God. Oh, wives, it's not your husband. Just stop it, girl. Don't even go there. He is not the deterrent to your spiritual growth. And it's not your wife. She is not the cross that you're bearing. She is not. It is you. It is what's in you. It's the stuff in you that you've got to deal with. And I'm here to tell you today, if you can conquer yourself, you will go to a whole another level of spiritual maturity, of spiritual excellence. Yes, we do need one another. But I can only get as much help as I'm willing to let people give me. And it's not other people's job to make me strong spiritually. Yes, I'm all for discipling relationships. And I think we need them. But we need them to help encourage us. Baptism is an adult decision. And so I made a decision that I want to be a Christian. And I just want people to help me get there. But I'm not going to blame them if I don't. Because that's upon me. It is my personal responsibility to grow spiritually. And so let's talk about dealing with this huge obstacle. And every morning when you get up and you look in the mirror, that's the thing you've got to deal with. I'm hitting buttons here and I didn't mean to hit. Okay, let me go back. Where am I? Okay, where am I? Oh man, I don't even know where I'm at now. Here you go. See, I can't get out of my own way. I've got to deal with myself. So we're going to go back. Okay, here we go. Ephesians 4. Let me put this thing down until I'm ready to use it. Ephesians 4, verse 17. So if we're going to read the rest of the scripture. He says, so I tell you and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. And the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The battle for us as Christians is to keep putting off the old self and to put on the new self. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. And you know, a lot of times in my life, the old Sam Powell wants to come back when I'm trying to be the new Sam Powell. But the old one, every now and then he shows up, especially when Cynthia and I are having a bump, a disagreement. The old Sam Powell comes back. And I have to say, no, you got to put him down and be the new Sam Powell that says, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I was wrong. He says you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. And really, sometimes we think, well, I got baptized and that's it. No, 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 no. That's just the beginning. It's like marriage. We got married. Oh, life is good. Remember those promises you made? I will always love you. I will always protect you. You will always laugh. You will never cry. I will be there for you. I will feed you. You will lack nothing. Oh, yeah? How long did that last? And now she is crying tears of joy as she offers up burnt offerings to you each morning. And you're wondering, what's going on in this marriage? You know what the problem is? You figured it out. We're both sinners confined to a small space and I can't get away. I used to be able to leave every weekend and just see her on the weekends, but now it's every day. Now she sees me for who I am. You know, I remember we had a men's retreat. You know, Larry does this marriage stuff, and he goes, oh, man, you just need to go back and tell your wife, ask your wife, does she feel loved by you? Hasn't he told you guys that? And so I'm thinking, great, I know Cynthia feels loved by me, and I can't even wait to get back home to ask her, and we're 5 hours away. And so I call her up, and I ask her, honey, do you feel loved by me? And she says, we'll talk about it when you get home. And so all I'm saying is, that just really brings me to my first point, really, of the many points I've made so far, that the key to personal growth is self-awareness and self-denial. And I'm thinking, I know I'm an awesome husband. That she'll just tell me, oh, baby, sure I feel loved by you. Every day I feel so loved by you. I mean, you make me feel like I'm walking on air every day. No, we'll talk about it when you get home. And I'm like, I'm not going to be home for 2 more days. And so we did talk about it, and I worked on it, and I think she feels more loved by me. But the key to personal growth is you've got to know yourself. Do you know yourself? You see, I open my Bible every day so that I can see God. But I also open my Bible every day so I can see me. I can see myself. Do you know yourself? Do you know your strengths and weaknesses? Are you honest with yourself? Do you know what Satan's plan is to lead you astray? David didn't know it. Samson didn't know it. Solomon didn't know it. And if they did know it, they did not prevent it. So if you think, well, I'm secure, you're definitely not more spiritual than David. You're not stronger than Samson. And you're surely not wiser than Solomon. So you need to know yourself. You need to know the real you. What is your sinful nature? Oh, I know you come to church and we smile. How are you doing, brother? Great, awesome. No, I'm not talking about that person. I'm talking about the real you. Are you easily angered? Are you still dealing with bitterness from a decade and a half ago? Are you discontent? Are you just unhappy waiting to win the lotto, waiting to get that new promotion and waiting as you sit way in the back of the church, which, I mean, I'm sure some of you kids, you got here a little late, that's where you're sitting there, but because you're just waiting for something magical, thinking that will make you happy. If you're not happy before you get the money, you won't be happy after you get it. If you're not happy before you get married, you won't be happy after you get married. Matter of fact, you'll be more miserable. Who are you? Are you deceitful? Are you insecure? Are you a people pleaser? You know, that was my weakness for so long. Wanting everybody to like me. Wanting everybody to feel good about me. And no matter how hard I tried, it didn't happen anyway. And I had to learn to deal with that. Are you selfish? Who are you this morning? Who knows who you are? See, because you can't grow until you begin to deal with you, the real you, and get honest about that. You know, American Idol, I don't know when they're going to end it. It's still on. They need some self-awareness. But one of the reasons we watch the show
was because we saw people every week who had no self-awareness. I mean, all the people that were up here, I'm sure those are good singers. Some of us were not up here thinking that we should be up here. But if we heard you, we would go, you need self-awareness. Because the whole thing, the reason I watched American Idol, I just watched the beginning because I was like, who are these people? Who told them they could sing? Come on, where is your friend? You got to have somebody. Somebody who would tell you, you sound awful. You're a tone deaf, man. Don't go in there. Don't do it. And I used to get irritated at those judges who would just try to build people up and, you know, there's a little potential in there, maybe. And Simon would always come through and go, no, there's no hope for you. You will never, ever be able to sing. He did not speak the truth in love, but he did speak the truth. And we need self-awareness in our lives, don't we? So we can grow. How do you become self-aware? The Word of God. The Word of God makes you self-aware. Loving friends help you to be self-aware. The Bible says over in James chapter 1 that the man of God who looks intently in the law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And this scripture says the Bible is like a mirror. And you look in that mirror and you see you for who you are. Thank God for his word. Amen, church? I read my Bible every day to see God. I read my Bible every day to see myself. If a person is not consistently in the word, you don't know who you really are spiritually. You don't know yourself. Therefore, you cannot grow. If there's anything you must do, you must get in the Word of God every day to see yourself, to get help with who you are, to see what you can become. That's so important, and we have been preaching it for years, and yet there's some who still do not do it. And it's because Satan knows that you can go to another level of personal growth if you would just simply open your Bible and say, speak to me, Lord. Help me to see who I am so I can become what you need me to be. I mean, I'm reading through this Bible, my wife's reading through the Bible, and every year I'm seeing stuff I never saw before. I'm seeing such stuff, things about myself that I don't even want to see. Is that, no, that cannot be true, is it? Hurts. Good. I need it. I need it. What about you? Are you aware from the word where you are spiritually? How are you doing spiritually? How would you judge it? You know, Jesus asked, who do men say I am? And they came up with some great example. Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. He says, well, what about you? Who do you say? If you ask your friends, who am I? How do you see me spiritually? Are you even willing to go there and accept the truth? But let me give you some other things the word does. The word makes you aware of your value to God. That even as we go through stuff and even as we struggle, even as we come up short, look at what Jesus says about us. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny yet? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the various hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I need to hear that. Because there are times when I doubt myself. There are times when I wonder, can I do this? And yet Jesus says, you're worth something to God. I need to hear that. I need to meditate on that. In a world of comparing and competing, we can forget how special we are in the eyes of God. God does not want us to be crippled by our insecurities and by our doubts, but he wants us to realize you are special to me. And see, when you're in the Word, you hear the voice of God. Yes, I know you're a sinner, but I still love you. And I still believe in you, and I still want to work through you. Because we can easily, some of us, we get down on ourselves so easily. Others of us, no matter what happens, we still think we're awesome. We thank God for you too. Are you aware of God's power in your life? What God can do? The Word encourages us as to who we can become by the power of God. The Word reminds us of how powerfully God works through ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. That's why we need to be in it. Another scripture in Ephesians. Remember this one, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in us, within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. Are you aware of the power that lives in you? That God says nothing is impossible with me? That if you are with God, that you are in a majority? That by God's power, you know, a teenager like David is able to slay Goliath? With God's power, Gideon with 300 is able to overcome thousands? God loves when the odds are against him because it shows his power. His power is made perfect in weakness. And so you've got to be in the Word every day to be remembered. God is powerful. He can use me. He can work through me. That's why we've got to be in the Word, brothers and sisters. You become self-aware of yes, your shortcomings, but also of how awesome God is and how he can work in your life. How do you become self-aware? Loving friends. Now, you can be made self-aware by unloving friends, too. I prefer loving friends. How many real trusted friends do you have? So, Sam, this is a big church. I'm sure I've got plenty of friends. You know, you can be in this church and be the loneliest person in the world. I mean, you can go week after week and call no one. No one calls you. You text no one. No one. You're Sunday to Sunday. Oh, there is a midweek. Forgot to tell you. Disciples meet there too. But who knows you? Write their name. My best friend is fill in the blank. And then after church, go ask them, who is your best friend? And see if the names match. Oh, I'm your best friend? Man, I never hear from you. How am I your best friend? Well, I pray for you. No, we've got to get this thing on straight. He goes on, he says, instead doing what, church? Instead of speaking the truth in love, right? This is what we do. We speak the truth in love. Instead of what? Instead of allowing one another not to grow. Instead of allowing one another to stay weak. Instead of avoiding conflict. Instead of remaining silent. Instead of hoping someone else will say it or do it. Instead of remaining shallow and distant. Instead of not being a true friend. We speak the truth in love. Your best friends are not the ones who just go along with you, patting you on your back. Man, your best friends are the ones who are going to stop and say, whoa, bro, wait a minute. You were wrong. The way you spoke to your wife was wrong. The way you treated your children, it's wrong. Sometimes we don't even want to know the truth. How did my kids do in King's Kingdom today? Bro, they were like little Tasmanians running around in there. This is your offspring. And sometimes we go, no, not my children. My children are godly. Really? Who tells you the truth? listen to anybody? You know, I'm thankful because, you know, I tell you what God does do for a lot of us men, though, he gives us wives. New York, New Jersey women, they will speak the truth. Go home and ask your wife, does she feel loved by you? And don't say, well, you know, Sam said you need to be loving. See what she says. Don't ask her now. Wait till you get home. But we need those friends in our lives. You know, end of last year. Now, the church, we've had our struggles the last couple of years. And I was getting concerned that we weren't consistently growing. And talked to the elders about it and said, well, you know, how about us have some people from the outside come in and tell us what they think? And I got no resistance. Hell, sure. So we had a couple of brothers come down from Boston and they spent about 3 days with us, with me and the elders and the staff, and they talked to all of our church leaders individually before they came, and then they talked to me separately, then they met with me and the elders, and they met with me and the staff, and at the end of it, there was more things that I needed to change than anybody else. And I said, this is a bad evaluation. Not true. No, I had to see some things, church, that I needed to do differently. And, you know, and I don't know if it was been anything miraculous, but God's blessing the church this year in ways we haven't seen in a long time. And I think it's because God is smiling on the fact that we were willing to just ask, tell us what you see. And they did. And I'm thankful. It wasn't, you know, it didn't feel all like this. Matter of fact, at one time, one of the brothers was speaking. I just said, okay, I got it. I said it right in the middle of his message. I got it. It's me. Okay. Stop. Enough. You know, when you're trying to confess to somebody, okay, I'm wrong. And they go, well, do you feel what you need to feel? No, I said, I got it. Now, let me out of the doghouse, will you? But we've got to be honest and be willing to admit where we fall short if we want to grow. Because it's not about how I look. It's not about what other people think. It's all about, I want to do the will of God. I want to please God. And if I have to look bad for God to look good, then fine. Because at the end of the day, I want God's will to be done. I want God's church to grow. I want to see more people grow in the Lord. I want to see more people become disciples. In all of our regions are seeing positive growth. Our contribution is better than it's been in forever. And I think it's because God's blessing our humility. And we plan to continue to go in that direction. As we begin to wrap this up, let me hit this last one. Keys of personal growth. We talked about self-awareness. Do you know who you are? Are you letting people get in your life to help you? To see who you are, so that God can help you become who you need to be. And it never stops. You know, April 26th is going to be my spiritual birthday. And it will, I mean, I'm beginning to lose track of the years because I got baptized in 1975. And so after 40 plus years, I don't know, what's that, 43? I still need to grow. Oh, I wish you could get to a point where you go, that's it, bingo, you're there. No, still need to grow. And I think if I do, so do you. But here's number two. You've got to have self-denial. You know, Jesus says, and this is, we all know this scripture. If anyone would come after me, he must do what, church? Deny himself and take up his cross daily to follow me. You cannot grow without self-denial. You can't do everything you want to do and still make progress spiritually. We can't achieve personal spiritual growth unless we're willing to say no to the things that hinder us and cripple us. We've got to be willing to say no. We've got to be willing to get people in our lives who help us to say no. Man, there's just got to be times if we're going to grow spiritually where we've got to say, look, if I'm going to have a quiet time, I've got to put on the newspaper, turn off ESPN, and spend some time with God. I mean, so what? I mean, we don't even really have much to root for around here these days anyway. God help the Knicks and the Nets and the Giants. Will somebody have a winning season for us? But you got to say no. You can't get with other couples and have discipling time and still do everything you want to do. It's hard to get with people, isn't it? You think about it. How are we going to make this happen? I mean, we got to schedule this and we got to move this. Then we go, I hope they call and say they can't make it. Make my day. It takes work. You got to say no. And you know, when you do it, you realize, man, that was a good time. I needed that. I needed that. You know, I've got accountability partners in my life. Brothers who I talk to about how I'm doing with my personal righteousness. Now, how'd you do with your personal purity this week? And we talk about, I mean, called one of them yesterday. Bro, how'd it go this week? How'd you do this week? And we talk detail. Because I need to say no. Because I'm a sinner. And I know where I go if I'm not accountable first to God and to others. It just helps me to know that someone else is saying no to. Because I want to grow. I want to make progress. I want God to be glorified. I want my private life to be the same as my public life. I don't want someone to walk in the room and go, whoa, I didn't know you did that. And that's why I talk to these brothers. And we just don't talk about when we fall short. We talk about what we're tempted by before it even gets there. Learning to say no. And then as we come to a close here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, Paul's talking about running the race here. He talks about how the athletes, what they have to go through in order to be successful. And then he says about himself, he says, I beat my body and make it my slave. So that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You know, every morning I get up, it's a battle with my spirit and my flesh. The minute I wake up, the flesh says, go back to sleep. And the spirit says, you need to get on up. Open your Bible. Pray. Get ready. And then the flesh says, not yet. Not now. Pillow feeling good. Let your blanket. Soft pillow. This is good. This is the life. You can always pray later. You know, do it at night before you go to bed, which I can't do because I fall asleep every time. And I'm not good praying at night. My wife can tell you. I mean, we were praying one time and all I got out was, Dear Lord. And she was sitting there going, he's so moved. Something's really disturbing him. And after a minute, So I know what I'm like. I'm a morning person. I'm not a night person. But I want to encourage you. Don't let your body control you. Don't let it run you. You run it. You said, look, feet, get on up. Get on up out of that bed. And we're going. Eyes open. Open now. Hands. Grab that Bible. Don't tell your hands. Your hands don't tell you what to do. You tell them what to do. And you beat that body. And you make it your slave. Because, oh, my disciple partners are going to ask me about it? No. Because God is watching. And wants to use you as you grow to give him glory. Decide today, to get radical about your personal spiritual life. I'm going to be a man of God. And I'm going to make no excuses. I'm going to discipline myself, conquer myself for God's glory. Brothers and sisters, we can grow. Let's get self-aware. Let's practice self-denial. Let's beat our bodies, make them our slave for the glory of God. We are just getting started here. There are whole new heights we can go to if each one of us will decide, I'm going to be the best I can be for my God. For his glory. God bless.